That's one of my favorite songs there. Ain't you glad you're sheltered? And not just sheltered by anybody, but sheltered in the arms of God. Boy, there's no safer, sweeter place to be than sheltered in the arms of God. Amen. Let's take our Bible this evening, and I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and 4. I'm going to read another verse or two when you get there, but we'll be spending a good bit of our time in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4. And I want to give you a thought this evening, this being the last service of 2021. And we did live to see it and tell about it. And I know many thought that we may not make it through this year. And it's been a rough patch. It's been a rough few years, but God has been faithful. And COVID did not take God by surprise. It didn't make God nervous. He's not up in heaven popping Tums and Rolaids, and he didn't even take a baby aspirin last night. He's not the least bit nervous over anything going on planet Earth. And I'm glad we serve a God who is in control and is sovereign, sufficient, all-powerful, all-knowing, and what a Savior, what a Lord. But Ephesians, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and 4, I'll get to. Let me read a verse out of Psalm chapter 90, the 90th Psalm, verse 12. And I'm going to preach on the subject this evening, things to do in 2022. I won't preach anything new. Dr. Ed McAfee used to say, I've heard him say it many, many times, if you ever hear anything new, trash it, because it's no good. And Solomon said much of the same. There's nothing new under the sun. But what I will be dealing with this evening and the things that we should be doing in the year to come, just a few days left in this year, and the things that we'll look at should be things that we're already doing. And it's stuff that we've learned. If you grew up in church, it's things that you already know. But Peter said it like this, that he wanted to stir up our minds and bring in remembrance some of these things. And so the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." What a powerful verse. You think about what's being said by the psalmist there. Teach us to number our days. What if this evening you knew how many days you had left to live? I'm sort of glad I don't know that. Boy, that'd be traumatizing. If you knew the countdown was on, everybody's counting down. I heard this several times today and this week, how the countdown to 2022 is already in effect. And that is true to a degree, but the countdown in reality is always on. Time marches on. It's never ending until it ends. But the psalmist said, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And if we truly understood and grasped and appreciated just how little time we do have, I believe that we would do better. I would do better, and you would do better at applying our hearts unto wisdom and those things which are the opposite. Over and over you see in Proverbs where the writer would say, in comparison and contrast, how the wise would do X, Y, Z, then the foolish would do the opposite. And if we were to number our days and to appreciate fully how little time we have, I believe it was James who said that our life is like a vapor, just here one day and gone the next. And as we close out a year, it ought to make all of us refocus on just how time is truly, truly moving on. And we're all getting older, and I went and got a haircut, wasn't planning on it. Jenny taught me into going with them to let the little girls get a haircut. And so I let that lady cut my hair. I thought she could knock some of the gray off and make it less noticeable. But the older we get, the older our bodies feel, the more things we have to put on to be able to operate, whether it's a cane or glasses, etc. Just constant daily reminders, whether it's an ache or a pain or things you just can't do like you used to could do. It should be reminders to us that time is moving on. And whatever we're going to do, we're running out of time to do it. And so as we close a year out and begin a new one, we should all understand. God blessed us to let us make it, I think, 2 or 3 days left in 2021. Think about all the people that has left this world this year. I mean, people that many took us by surprise. I know one in my mind, been on my heart all day, and I won't call her name, but it absolutely just shocked me when the Lord called her home. And that's been the case with so many. People in this room have close family, friends that God has called out of here this year. But yet here we sit on a Wednesday night, and God has blessed us and given us another year, but we're not guaranteed that. We're not promised that next year our number won't come up, that our name won't come up. And so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Ephesians 5:16 goes along the same theme, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I'm going to go just a little bit darker here, a little bit deeper, and hopefully all of us open our eyes a little bit more from the Word of God to understand what we're living in did not take God by surprise. These days that we're living in were not only known ahead of time, but God thought enough of us to warn us and to prophesy and record in His Word that so that we could prepare our hearts and be ready and be prepared and apply our hearts to wisdom so that we could not just endure these days, but that we could enjoy the Lord during these days. And I want you to listen to 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4. And as we read these, as you've heard them read and you've read them many times yourself, I'm no longer preaching these days are coming, but these days are here. You've lived to see them. We've lived long enough to see them and experience, I mean, what God wrote on the very pages of the Word of God. We see it. We are living it. And it should amaze us at that we could not just look out into the future and think, wow, that's coming one day, and we may get to see these things happen, but we've lived long enough to hear the preaching about it, that it's coming, and now here we are living. And not only should it amaze us, but not stun us, but it should shock us to a degree to make us realize that we are in devilish, dangerous, dark days. And if we're going to go forward for the glory of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, and make progress in these days, then it's going to take more than just the way we've been living. And that's not a condemnation. I'm not throwing stones. That's as much an indictment to me and a warning to me. Over and over, the Word of God says, take heed. Take heed. And that's all I'm saying this evening is, thank God we've made it almost through 2021. And we're heading into 2022. And on the last service of this year, I thought it would do our hearts good to look at what God said would be in these days. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I jotted this down. Do you know 2022 could be the year? You said the year of what? It could be the year of the Lord. It could be the year that the Father leans over and says, "Son, go get your bride." And Jesus will rise from the throne and He will come in the clouds and the trump will sound and the dead in Christ will rise and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them. This could be the year. You say, "Oh, preacher, that's foolish. I mean, we've been hearing that our whole lives." I mean, come on now. Surely you ain't going to take advantage of the ending of a year and the start of a new one to try to push that again and promise that again. Listen, I'm not prophesying that this will be the year. I'm saying we just as basic and as profound as I can say it, we are absolutely, I emphatically say, we are closer than we've ever been before to the coming of the Lord. Amen. And with that in mind, we should prepare our hearts, because if you knew Jesus was coming before midnight tonight, would you do anything different? I mean, come on, be honest. You don't have to speak up, but think and meditate in your heart and muse for a moment. If I really knew Jesus was coming in 4.5 hours, aren't there some prayers you would probably pray? Like starting with, "Lord, forgive me. Oh God, I don't want to meet you with this in my heart. Lord, I don't want to meet you with unconfessed sin. I don't want to meet you with these habits and hang-ups in my life. Lord, forgive me. I repent. Those things that I've been holding on to, those sins and those weights that does so easily beset me and I've allowed them to live in my life. I know you're coming. And so there's some things I need to do." You ever heard that little cliche, Brother Jackie? When the doctor gives a bad report and they'll come out and they'll tell you, you better have your family set their affairs in order. Being a preacher, I've been in the room several times when the doctor would come and issue that terrible doctor's report, and it was just dark and gloomy, and they would say those words, "You better set your affairs in order." And as not as a doctor, but as a preacher of the gospel, I'm saying it's high time we as Christians set our affairs in order, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Now listen, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Not maybe, not might, they shall come. Absolutely, 100%, they shall come. Perilous, you all know what it means, dangerous. Have you ever, ever lived or read about a more dangerous world than the one we're living in? You say, "Well, it ain't that bad in Packlet. I mean, yeah, we got some drug problems and there's some break-ins here and there and there's some crazy teenagers run the streets and that goofy, but it ain't that bad." I would beckon you to broaden your horizon and open your eyes a little wider. This world we're living in has never been as dangerous as it is in the day and hour we're living. I'm not going to take the time to give you the statistics, but teenage suicide. I was reading this today. Teenage suicide. You teenagers are in here. I had you in here tonight for a purpose, and I want you to hear me. All you young people, please hear me and hear me well. The devil and this dark, demonic world where seducers and evil spirits are pushing and playing on your mind and telling you don't have a reason to live. There's nobody that loves you, and there's nothing worth living for, and you mean nothing to nobody. I want to tell you, by the grace of God and the power and promise of God, that you do have a reason to live. Jesus is worth living for. Your family loves you. Your preacher loves you. Your church loves you. And if all those people fail you, I promise you, there's a God in heaven who loves you, and there's reason for you to live. Who'd ever thought, Brother Ned, when you was growing up, I asked this question to a youth group maybe a little longer. I was preaching and the place was filled with young people. And I said, I want you young people to raise your hand. If you or somebody you know, and I could do it tonight, and it would stun most of us older ones. How many of you young people, and don't raise your hand, know somebody or have ever experienced or involved yourself with cutting? Most older people in the room don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about cutting your skin. Brother Ned, you never heard of that growing up, did you? I didn't either. I mean, I might know some people that might cut somebody else. You had to steer clear of. But who would have ever thought that people would take razor blades and cut their flesh to relieve pressure? Who in the upstate would have ever dreamed, Brother Jimmy, that in Greenville, South Carolina, it would be one of the top child human smuggling operations in the country? Charlotte, just right up the road, another one where they're loading a transfer truckloads full of teenagers and young 7-8-year-old girls and boys. Did you realize every Super Bowl, every major sporting event, major event in our country, that rich, 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 wicked people buy and hire children for wicked, wicked reasons? These rich people high up who would never touch drugs and do all that, but they've always put their money in and kept these operations going. They figured out that there's way more money to be made with humans and human smuggling than there are with drugs even. Just today, Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's crazy, whatever you would call her, companion, who would lure young girls in malls and all other kind of places. They just convicted her, thank the Lord. Give her 65, she's facing 65 years and should get triple or quadruple that or worse. I'm just simply saying, and I could go on and on and on and on. We're living in perilous, perilous, dangerous, dark, demonic days. You say, what does all that mean? And why would you take time on a Wednesday night, the last night of the year, service of the year? Why would you take time to do? Because mamas, daddies, papas, and nanas and grannas, hey, if there's ever been a time that your children and grandchildren needed somebody to stand in the gap, make up the hedge and say, no matter what, if the whole world crumbles, if everybody goes against me, I'm going to let my child and my grandchildren, girls, y'all better know that Daddy loves Jesus. I'll fight hell for you and with you. And listen, all children don't have to go to the world. All children don't have to go to the dark side. But I'm telling you, the whole world, the current of this world is dragging at breakneck speed, not just children and teenagers, but adults alike, toward hell itself. And oh, we as the salt of the earth and the light of the world are the only hope our children and the children of this community that live in. Oh, it breaks your heart. If you just knew what some of the children in this community live in, the needles that they see pushed in mama's arm and the stuff they see snorted up daddy's nose and the fighting and cussing and pornography. They walk and crawl through the house looking for food while all this is going on. You say, surely not. I'm telling you, God knew it all. And no wonder He inspired and breathed on the man of God to pen in the last days perilous times. And here we are. I got to move on for time's sake. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Listen, He starts to give a little bit of more in depth. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Have you ever seen a time where that's more true? Men shall be lovers of themselves. By the way, ladies, when it says men, it's talking about men and women, humanity. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I got to pause there. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I'm going to get to this in the last part of the message. And I know y'all think this is one of my hobby horses. And it is. And I'm probably going to ride it till Jesus comes. Because I believe it's one of the biggest problems that we've allowed. And probably blindly and unknowingly. But when I was growing up, my mama wouldn't dare let us listen to rock and roll music. My mama wouldn't dare let us listen to rap music. She wouldn't dare let us watch some show on TV that had vulgar, foul, cussing. That wouldn't happen. Wouldn't happen. But do you know the devil is so cunning and crafty and sly? Bob says he's the most cunning beast. Listen, he created these devices or helped create them, and we would slide them into our children's hand and put the whole world in their hand and in ours. And no, if they was to come in and cut the TV on and it was taking the Lord's name in vain and saying vulgar words and playing music, we wouldn't dare let them cut on the radio in the car. But when it's on their game, the devil slid that into their games and it plays constantly. Into their reels. Y'all young people didn't know I knew what reels was, did you? Into YouTube videos and into TikToks. And there it is. And some of the most trashy, vulgar, vile stuff. And you don't have to be looking for it. You can be looking at wholesome, good stuff. But then there it pops. And there it plays. And slowly but surely it's desensitized. The blood, guts, and I'm telling you, we have allowed pleasure and the love of pleasure to far outseed the love of God. Things we used to would have stood firm on, we've slowly allowed to slip in because we love pleasure more than we love God. I didn't expect too many amens right there, but it's the truth. It's the truth. By the way, I say this and move on. I dare you. I dare you. Mama, Daddy, Papa, Nana, Grandma. Next time they misbehaving, say, you want a whooping? Which used to put the fear of God in them. Say, I'll give you a choice. You want my belt or I'll take your phone for 24 hours or that tablet. They will pull their own britches down and say, whoop me, honey. Because they don't want this thing taken. They'd rather you beat the devil out of them than for you to take this for half a day. Yeah. That ought to tell us how powerful. God said, spare the rod, spoil the child. And so when something comes along that has so much power that they would beg for a whooping over you taking that, it should be a red flag to let us know how powerful this thing is. I'm not saying everything on the internet's bad, but when the World Wide Web come on the scene, it's like somebody flushed the toilet to society and humanity, and we've been going down the drain and fast. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Oh, having a form of godliness, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Miss Christina, today, she's doing such a tremendous job. Where are you? There you are. She's our Sunday school teacher, our newest Sunday school teacher, working with her nursery-age children. And they love her. I mean, they love her. Children that wouldn't dare let me hold them, even if I bribed them, which I'm not above. You want some chocolate? You want my phone? No, I'm just... They will flock to her. They will leave. Jamie, am I telling the truth? That boy would hold on to his mom and cry for her. I don't care what. But Jamie can't get him there fast enough, and he won't even say bye to mama, and he's gone to see his Sunday school teacher. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Listen, she texted me today, and she said, "Preacher, I want to get these new Bibles for the kids." And one day, way out yonder, I think I just let the cat out of the bag. Doggone it. Anyway, my point is, she spell check or something said it wrong, and she was trying to say King James Bible, and it said something else. And she told me not. She said, "It's King James Bible." That's the first thing she said. She said, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" She said, "It's King James Bible. It's King James Bible." My point in saying all that is, hey, listen, there's a lot of books out there. There's a whole lot of books out there in the Christian bookstores and on Amazon, anywhere else you want to find. And they have a form. They have leather. And they look like a Bible. They're formed like a Bible. And they even have Bible wrote on them. But it's just a form. Because it denies the power thereof. There ain't but one Bible. There ain't but one. Can't have but one word from God that's perfect and preserved and pure. Forever settled. And that's just King James Bible. Amen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Let me say a word right there quickly. Listen. I know this is controversial, but I can't help it. I can't help it. I didn't make right and wrong. I didn't determine right and wrong. By the way, neither did you. And if it's ever been wrong, I don't care what you think. It don't matter what I think. What God said was wrong is wrong, and what God said is right is right. And listen. Listen to this verse again. Please listen to the verse again. It said, resist the truth. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You know what reprobate means? They can't even tell right from wrong anymore. Who would have ever dreamed in a church like this, and churches like this that's heard the truth, been preached the truth for decade upon decade, the Word of God, unadulterated, straight Bible preaching, that men and women would sit on pews and you would preach just right out of the Bible and say that God's against homosexuality and God's against lesbians and God's against transgenders and it's an abomination to God. And that people who should know better will rise up against you and have major problems and say, "But that's in my family and that's hate toward my son or my daughter." No, I'm going to tell you, that's reprobate thinking. That's not knowing right from wrong anymore. That's resisting truth. Hey, you young people, you need to hear me. You need to hear me. Don't ever compromise truth. The Bible says, "Know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And just because somebody says that you hating on people, you're not hating on people. You're actually loving people by telling them the truth. I'll get down an altar and pray with any lesbian. I'll get down an altar and pray with any homosexual or trans, with anybody, and point them to Jesus. But I'll love them enough to tell them the truth. And I'm not going to compromise and condone what God says is wicked and sinful and an abomination. And God forbid it ever enters my home. God forbid, you girls listen to me. God forbid, I'll love you, but I'll never condone that wickedness, ever. Ever. Because when you start condoning it, you're opening up a door that lets them know it's okay to keep living there. Why do you think God the Father, why I just preached on this. Why do you think Jesus, while hanging on the cross, said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why do you think God did that? Why, for the first time in all of eternity, God the Father turned His back on the Son? Because He who knew no sin became sin for us. He bore our sin. He became our sin. And God's a holy God. And God cannot, will not, and will never have fellowship and condone sin. Amen. And if He won't, as much as He is pure love, the Bible says He is love. Right. Out of Him flows all love. And so if it was hate for us to stand against sin, God will be guilty. And we know that is not the truth. So no matter the games that society, the news media, the hierarchy and education and popular culture, no matter what they say, it is not hating somebody to tell them the truth. And the truth is what the Word of God says. And that's for a man to love a woman and a woman to love a man, and that a man is a man and a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, and there is no in-between, period.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, what I just preached on, I will get feedback and flack from. Possibly sued over. Do you know that there's lawyers stacked up all around the country, honed in on churches with listening and looking very hard for preachers to say anything close to what I just preached. Yep. So they can sue. That's a fact. That is not my imagination. That is absolute fact. Amen. And there was a time when I would stand up and preach. There's coming a day. In America, there'll come a day when people will want to sue over preaching like this. And that day has come. Amen. And it ain't just preachers. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When's the last time you've been persecuted? You'll know if you live in godly. You'll know if you live in godly. Here's a time and test, true, absolute test, and you can know. You say, I wonder if I'm living godly. One verse right here, and it will prove to you whether or not you're living godly. When's the last time you've been persecuted over your faith? Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall. If you and I are not being persecuted, that means we ain't living too godly. We ain't standing against too much. We've gone along to get along way too long. Amen. That's right. Lord, help us. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Boy, I thank God that I was raised under Bible preaching. I mean, you think about it this evening. Think about how good and gracious God was to you to let you be born and raised in the buckle of the Bible Belt. I mean, and to be raised, most of us in this church this evening have been raised on Bible preaching. What a heritage. I mean, what a gift from God. You could have been born in Africa. You could have been born in communist China. You could have been born anywhere, but God let you be born where you could hear the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, and that is unmatchable in its blessing and benefit. To me and you. And so he's saying, all this other stuff's coming. Oh, and it's here. What do you do? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been taught from a child. And short of knowing whom thou hast learned. Now, we'll probably just get the scripture reading done for tonight. That'll be all right. Look at chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Listen to this verse 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I said some things that we need to do in 2022. And I'm almost done. I'm just going to give you the list. I'm not going to preach them. But I believe 9 times in the next few verses, the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, reading the Word of God. You don't know what you need to do and what I need to do in 2022? Number one on the list, we need to get back into the Word of God. The Word of God in such a dark and demonic world is our only weapon. It is, hey, when Jesus in Matthew 4, when he had been fasting, his body was weak. He was weaker physically than he had ever been. He was more vulnerable to the temptation of the devil than he'd ever been. And that's when Satan comes, when you are at your weakest. And that's sure enough when he showed up and he tempted the Lord Jesus 3 times, and as soon as he tempted him, you remember what Jesus did? He didn't pray. He didn't run to the church house. He didn't call for the other disciples to come and minister to him. Immediately, as soon as the devil came to him, he said, "It is written," and he gave Bible, and the devil tempted again. He said, "It is written," and he gave Bible, and then again, "It is written." You know what you need to do in 2022? You better get reacquainted with that old book. You better take a new look at that old book. If you're going to make it in this up and coming year, we all need to get reacquainted with the Word of God. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily all you that's going to make a New Year's resolution, here's you a good Bible verse right here. Rather than say, "I'm going to join the gym," just give a little bit more to missions and save your money. You know you ain't never lasted over 2 weeks. Rather than going on a diet, this is free advice. It's free. I'm gonna say this sort of in jest, but I mean this. You know, the only people that I know some people who's went on some keto and all these other diets. I can't even remember what they call them. And I've seen people drop a ton of weight. I mean, like, wow, look like a different person. Where's the rest of you at? And they would stay on that diet 2 or 3 months or whatever. And it was, I mean, it was amazing. And then 2 or 3 months later, they gained that mess back just as fast as they lost it. I'm not being mean. I'm telling the truth. You may tell you the only people, I mean this, listen, I don't have stock in any kind of weight loss program. I don't have anything to gain out of saying this. I'm saying this for a biblical point. You know, the only people I've ever seen lose weight and maintain that weight loss is people who said this, and it started to catch on, and I've heard it over and over. It's people who say and mean, I'm not going on a diet. I'm changing the way that I live. Brother Dennis just said that not for dietary purposes, because he just found out his sugar's messed up, and he said, I'm gonna have a new way of life. I'm having to look at everything different, and it's a life change. It's not a diet plan. It's a life change. And my point in saying all that was simply this. Don't make some New Year's resolution that you're going to join the gym and lose 50 pounds and then in 2 weeks you get so fed up with the whole thing, you just quit. And then, hey, just say, by the grace of God, because bodily exercise, it's just a little gain. Even if you do excel and succeed, even if you get a six pack and you get down to that size, you've always, it's just a little bit of gain. But won't you make a vow to God and make a promise to God and say, Lord, what I really want to do is have a life change. I want to get into your word this year and not just start out reading a chapter or two a day and pray a little bit a day and let that last about as long as my diet. But I want to have a life change. I want to have a relationship with your word that will be lasting. And I promise you, if you will get a relationship with that book and you will push through and you will check it off day by day and you'll pray day by day and you'll be faithful to the house of God when you feel like it and when you don't. Brother Alex texted me earlier today and said, Preacher, I don't think I'm gonna be there. You're gonna have to get somebody to teach for me. And I thought, oh goodness, you sick. And he said, no, my well's out, and I gotta pull my well pump out. And I said, well, you got time. Get to pulling pipe, boy. No, I really told him I'd come help him, didn't I? But he got, and I kept checking on him, and about 6 o'clock, he said, I just got that thing back in there and it's working. I said, well, get in the shower and come on. Ain't that what I said? Yep. Hey, he did. He didn't even get a shower. That's what I was saying. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. This is a boy, when I met him, had hair down his back. Looked like somebody from the 60s. I mean, a full-blown hippie. Serious. God reached down and saved him. And he didn't just go on some spiritual diet. Amen. He got serious with God, and God got serious with him. And he had a lifestyle change. Amen. And some of us have been saved, and we've drifted back into that old lifestyle, and we're eating the sugars of this world, and we're eating the fat of this world. And it's time that we as Christian people have a lifestyle change, because the days we're living in, it's just like eating unhealthy and doing unhealthy things, never exercising, all that stuff. When you get old, I remember Tommy, you awake back here? I'm just going on with you. I remember Tommy, he'd eat whatever he wanted to. And he'd dive in, buddy. I mean, he loved it. That's what they love more than anything. Him and Mama loved it. They'd go on vacation just to eat. They still do. But Tommy had a heart attack. He got older, and his blood pressure started going up. And the next thing he knew, he had a heart attack. You know what caused that? All that stuff that was so enjoyable and so fun and so pleasurable and just young and live free and, oh, it's so good. It's all good and fun until it catches up with you. And you know what Tommy didn't do? He didn't ignore the doctor. He didn't say, oh man, you've lost your mind. That grease ain't what caused this. That beacon ain't what caused this. As soon as I get out of here, I'm headed right back and I'm going to live the same old way. And the doctor said, you'll be dead. Yeah. If you don't have a lifestyle change, if you don't start walking and exercising and watching what you eat and changing your diet and changing your lifestyle, you will die. Is that not what they said? Right. Well, guess what Tommy did? He wanted to live. He's still living healthily. When I'm eating fat right beside him, he'll look at it and he'll eat his healthy food. And he'll get up and do his exercise. And he's religious at it. You know why? Because he really had a lifestyle change. And as Christian people, is it going to take us having a heart attack because everybody don't survive? Amen. Matter of fact, many, probably the majority don't. And is it going to take a spiritual heart attack to get us to change our life? Is it going to take the death of a loved one? What's it going to take for us to have a life? I'm saying it's perilous days we're living in. It's as serious as a heart attack, if not more so. And we cannot continue living the way we've always lived and think everything's just going to be like it's always been. It's different days. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and in purity. I'm gonna close with that verse after I read verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. But I want to close with verse number 12. I want you to take this with you into the new year, as I do myself personally, and let's all pray one for another that we'll take this to heart. Listen to verse number 12 again. This is what we need to do in 2022. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, how we talk. Should be an example of a believer. What we let our children hear us saying should be an example as a believer, teaching them that this is how believers act, because they are looking, they are listening, and they will repeat and they will become what we are. And what we do, listen, what we do in a small portion, they'll become in excess. So be an example in word, in conversation, that means lifestyle, in charity, in the way we love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. You ought to underline that in your Bible. And I told my wife on the way to church, she said, what's the big plans for New Year's Eve? I said, I hope you didn't make none, because I'll be asleep short as the world. I try and like to go to bed by about 8 o'clock. I mean, get there by 8 and be asleep by 8:30, 8:45, because I get up early. I get up real early. And so... She said, what's the big plans? And Laurel spoke up and said, fireworks, Daddy, fireworks. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know what you should do? You should be an example of a believer in word, in behavior, lifestyle, purity. The Lord spoke to my heart. And I said, I mean this. It just happened on the way to church tonight. As clear as a bell. I said, we need to get her family and pray the new year in. And by the grace of God, even if I have to set an alarm clock and get back up, that's what we're going to do. And yes, Laurel, I'll let you shoot a firecracker. Or I'll shoot it for you. I ain't letting you blow your hand off. Hey, when's the last time you prayed with your family? We Christians, we believers, if we don't pray with them, Brother Jackie, if we don't show them that example, where else are they going to learn it? How many of y'all that's been in church a while used to every church around here that was a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, on New Year's Eve, there was a watch night service, and you'd go to church from 7 o'clock to 12 o'clock and pray the New Year in. Raise your hand if you remember going to them. Look around. They ain't hardly none nowhere no more. People have just got better things to do, busy lives, and we don't even think about being with God and praying in the New. And I'm not saying you got to go sit through a 4-hour service and be in church somewhere New Year's Eve. You say, oh, that's just too long. Well, if you had free tickets to the Clemson game tonight, it wouldn't be too long, would it, Steph? I'm simply saying, be an example this year. Get in your Bible, pray, love your family, love your church. Because I'm going to need all them things, and so are you going forward. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Thank you.